Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. We explore strange tales out of Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm your Roundup host, Lauren Berry. What are your favorite summer activities? Are you into water sports, hiking, barbecuing, checking out roller coasters, maybe playing some frisbee or disc golf? If you said yes to that last one, did you know that you could go pro? Professional disc golfers are heading to the World Disc Golf Championships later this summer, and we'll hear all about it in this episode. Maybe outdoor activities aren't really your thing, and you prefer a nice, air-conditioned movie theater with some buttery popcorn and a big slushie. You may have noticed that your options for that experience are shrinking as movie theaters close across the U.S. Our second stop will be the real-life backrooms. Now, that's a phrase for eerie, abandoned public spaces that's popular online, of these shuttered cinemas. Then, in the second half of the show, we'll learn about The Backrooms, a movie inspired by the phrase that's actually been bringing young people to the movies, in person. Finally, we'll hear from an expert on eerie places and experiences about the psychology behind fear, belief, and more. We'll start today's journey at Kensington Metro Park in Michigan, where Park Superintendent James O'Brien spoke with Greg Bauman of Odyssey Station WWJ News Radio in Detroit about the world of disc golf.
Maybe the disc golf isn't quite as loud as, you know, the Grand Prix, but just as exciting for the participants, right?
It's a great recreational sport that is really growing throughout the world as well as Southeast Detroit. And we're super excited to host the World Championship here August 26th through the 30th.
Is disc golf that popular? We don't really know. I mean, is it popular, spreading quickly throughout the nation and the world?
Yeah, Greg, it really is. There's actually over 17,000 golf courses, disc golf courses worldwide, three of which are actually at Kensington Metro Park, and it is considered one of the fastest growing sports or recreational activities out there. So it has its own PDGA, Professional Disc Golf Association, which has been around actually since 1976, but the growth in the sport has certainly accelerated. For example, we anticipate this event bringing crowd sizes between 20 and 25,000 spectators over the 5 days that the event will be held in August at Kensington.
So excuse my ignorance on this, James. So there are professional disc golfers here that can you actually make a living at this?
Yeah, there's an amateur circuit and then there's a professional circuit, and the professionals have really grown in popularity, and they just like the Grand Prix, the races there, they have sponsorships that sponsor them, and it's super growing. They actually have their own following. It's really becoming a mainstream sport.
You've got this Disc Golf Discovery Day next Sunday, June 7th. Is that an opportunity for people to learn more about the sport or take part in it?
Yeah, we're really excited to have this event on June 7th between 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. It's called the It's called Disc Golf Discovery Day. It's mainly for kids and families, and we're happy that we're going to have actually two professional disc golfers on hand, Lindsay Moss and Chandler Fry, who will be working with the kids and showing them the basic fundamentals of the sport. We have all kinds of competitions and free giveaways for the kids. Everything from the first 50 kids will get free tickets to the Professional Disc Golf Championship. We also have free discs that the kids will get, and Kona Ice will be a sponsorship and also provide some free tickets for the kids. So this is an event that we're partnering with the Detroit sports community as well as the PDGA on.
Is it a challenging, difficult sport to learn?
You just need a disc. Fortunately, it's a very inexpensive activity, and there's a lot of disc golf courses. And it's generally a free activity, or there's just a minimal bag tag fee. For instance, at Kensington, that's anywhere from $3 to $5, or you can get a seasonal pass. So really, you just need the discs, or at some of our courses, you can borrow them. And there's a basket and pretty good distance, very similar to traditional golf. And you throw the disc and you keep track of how many times it takes you to get it into the basket. So like anything else, practice makes perfect. So it's something anybody can try at the beginner level and continue to grow and potentially be a professional someday.
Right. You don't need expensive golf clubs and carts and all that kind of stuff, right? You can just start right out and do it with a minimal investment.
Yep, for sure. And you can get free training by a professional on June 7th if you come visit us. And also, it's only $10 for the general admission ticket price to come watch the championship in August.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
As disc golf grows in popularity, the U.S. has seen attendance at movie theaters get smaller in recent years. According to the Pew Research Center, just around half of Americans saw a movie in theaters in the year leading up to a 2025 summer survey. Data indicates that back in 2002, just under 5 tickets were sold per person in the U.S. and Canada. That was a big year for blockbusters, including the first Spider-Man film with Tobey Maguire as the lead, as well as installments in the Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, and Star Wars franchises. Around 20 years after that big summer, moviegoing did a nosedive during the COVID-19 pandemic. And it's really never recovered to pre-pandemic levels. Even right before that pandemic started, there weren't as many theaters in the U.S. as there were in the early aughts, and even more have been closing every year since, either getting knocked down, repurposed, or leaving uncanny liminal spaces behind. This week, the Dana and Parks Show out of Odyssey Station KMBZ in Kansas City discussed one such closure. Let's listen in.
A movie theater, an AMC movie theater.
In Pittsburgh, Kansas.
In Pittsburgh, Kansas, mm-hmm. has just shut its doors.
Yep.
And
It's an AMC 8.
I do wonder. And in a small town, it would be an 8. You're not going to have 40 theaters in a small town.
Of course not.
I do wonder, are too many of us streaming or waiting a couple weeks or a month to stream, and too few of us going to the theater to support that many theaters? And I would have guessed the answer in big cities would be yes. I never would have guessed an AMC would shut down in a small town where there aren't as many extracurricular things to do.
Entertainment options.
There's just, you know, there's a lot of things to do in the population centers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pick your billionth thing you want to do this week here. But you would think like a movie theater would be that's what we do on a Friday night.
But would you not agree that the movie going experience is still the same in Olathe as it is in Pittsburgh or in Shawnee or Liberty
it
or
is.
At least Summit?
For the big summer blockbuster, it is.
So, for example, we went on Sunday to watch the movie Pressure.
Mm-hmm. About World War II.
Which is a great movie if you have time to see it. There is still something, and maybe it's our generation, maybe it's lost on the younger generation. There's still something magical about staring at the big screen, all the sound around you.
You think?
Well, for me, yes.
I think with the big summer blockbuster, like if you're going to go see Top Gun 2, you go to the theater to see that. But
what was the last movie you went to
see? Oh, Scott, I would really have to think about that. Because for me, for 95% of the other movies, we wait and we stream it at home. Because you don't have to get out. I can sit there in my underwear and have a glass of wine. You don't have the
there's a mental image rare, I did not need.
But definitely sort of their issue where someone is talking on their cell phone or yakking in between scenes. You know, I think, except for the 5% of the movies, which are the big ones, I went and saw, I think we saw Nuremberg at the theater, I think.
I know we did.
My son and I went and saw Nuremberg at the theater.
Okay.
That's the last movie we went to. But let me give you an example.
Sam, will you look up when Nuremberg came out? I believe it was last summer.
There is a scary movie out right now, or was, that Jack and Olivia went to see, and I love scary movies. It's called Hokum. And they were telling us about it. They're like, you've got to go see Hokum. And last night, we were looking for something to stream, and there it is. Hokum is now streaming on Amazon Prime. And I said to the other kids—
Now, you went and saw that in theater?
No, we did not. Jack went and saw it at the theater. I said to the other kids, oh my gosh, it's here. Let's pay the $20 and watch it. And we watched it last night. It's outstanding. It's a good, solid, scary movie.
But why not go see it in the theater?
Because we could all sack out on the couch.
And $20 is a fifth of what you would have spent at the theater with drinks, snacks, tickets, the whole night.
You don't have to buy drinks.
You can pause it when you've got to get up and go to the bathroom.
What would get you up off the couch to see a movie in a theater? There are a few films this summer that are packing seats, and we'll hear about them when we're back from the break on this Weird News Roundup, presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. Thank you for listening to this special presentation of Weird News from Odyssey's Something Offbeat. Abandoned movie theaters, malls, hotels, and other public spaces that were once bustling with people but have since emptied out or closed have become known on social media as, quote, the back rooms. One YouTuber, a 20-year-old named Kane Parsons, uploaded a short film called The Backrooms, Found Footage, to the platform in 2022, and it became a viral hit. Last Friday, his feature-length film, The Backrooms, hit theaters, and it also became a hit. It's been the number one film in the U.S. for days, unseating Obsession, another horror film with YouTube roots. Award-winning movie critic Scott Mance joined Odyssey station KNX News in Los Angeles this week to discuss how these films are breathing new life into theaters that seemed close to turning into the backrooms themselves.
Backrooms, number one movie in America. It was made by a 20-year-old YouTuber, cost $10 million, and it took in $81 million over the weekend. Youngest filmmaker to top the domestic box office. Another small-budget film, Obsession, came in second. It's been building weekend to weekend.
Scott, I saw one analyst quoted as saying, this should empower the industry. What message does it send?
Well, this message, Margaret, says this is a turning point. Look at the fact that these two films, Backrooms and Obsession, which cost, you know, Obsession cost $750,000 to make. It's up to $148 million worldwide. Backrooms cost $10 million to make, up to $118 million worldwide. It's first weekend. It's the second biggest movie from A24 behind Marty Supreme. YouTube, which has been around for a long, long time now, people have been sleeping on the fact that YouTube has been a breeding ground for aspiring filmmakers, and that you have the number one and number two movies directed by YouTubers. Obsession's Curry Barker is 26. Backrooms' Kane Parsons is 20. Like Mike said, the youngest filmmaker ever to open a movie at number one. And this is crucial. 86% of the audience that made Backrooms a $118 million hit in its first weekend, 86% is under the age of 35, 44% is under the age of 21. These are YouTubers, Gen Z filmmakers, making movies that Gen Z wants to see. More people are going to the movies now for the first time in 6 years since before the pandemic, and many of those movie goers are Gen Z.
You know, I feel like it's a, yeah, let's take notice. And also it's a not a rocket science thing at the same time, right? If you make something people want to watch, they're going to go in to watch it. Even Sinners or Project Hail Mary and then Backrooms and then Obsession, right? You know what we didn't ask for, sadly, as a Star Wars fan? We didn't ask for The Mandalorian and Grogu. I'm sorry. We just didn't want it. We could watch that on Disney+.
And Mike, you're absolutely right. Mandalorian made just $25 million over the weekend, down 70% from its debut weekend last weekend. I mean, come on, this is a Star Wars movie, the first Star Wars movie in 7 years, and it is not what people wanted. I mean, it didn't help, honestly, that the movie wasn't very good. I mean, we talked about this. But the fact that you have these Gen Z filmmakers making movies that Gen Z wants to see, and the marketing campaigns for these movies, they jettisoned the traditional paths and went right where Gen Z lives, like YouTube and TikTok and Reddit and so on. And, you know, this is just is this a turning point? I think it is. I think that the studios and the streamers are going to be combing YouTube for the next Kerry Barker and the next Kane Parsons. You know, they're going to really be looking at, what are we missing? What are we missing? So I think it is a wake-up call for everybody. But in all my years covering movies in the box office, which is like about 35 years, don't want to age myself here, Mike and Mark.
You started when you were like 3 years old.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like this. This is unprecedented, history-making.
Why is it that horror films are the movies that have been drawing audiences back into theater seats? Well, one reason might be that we often turn to art to deal with unexplained experiences that can be hard to process any other way. Dave Schrader, host of the Paranormal 360 podcast on Odyssey Station WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities, recently spoke to Lauren Hellickson, a practicing witch, educator, and paranormal investigator, about the psychology behind belief, perception, and fear. Here's a little bit of their talk.
Lauren is the subject of a documentary series that will be coming out on Stream Beacon TV, The Bridge Between Dimensions. First of all, it's okay to have questions and not have definable answers. I find that fascinating and have told people that for years. They go, how can you have all these lunatics on your show telling you these stories? You can't possibly believe every story. And I don't. But I think it's equally as fascinating why they believe that this happened.
Nailed it.
And I love it. And I love that fact. And sometimes it's in their belief that starts to turn me around that corner that makes me think, oh, there's more here to investigate. I'll have people come to my hotel. It's usually a reluctant husband with his wife. And then he walks away having the experience that might not wrap his brain around. We can't always attribute just to the fact that it's what we expect is going to happen or what we want to have happen.
We, and this is honestly some of the reason why the Bridge Between Dimensions went from being documentary to docuseries, because we tackle some of these questions, including a experiment that I do filmed as controlled as you can be in a paranormal style investigation. We did with participants and everything. We had a location completely reserved and isolated, no workers, no volunteers, no nothing, all to myself to run this study on perception. And if we're able to either manipulate that perception, or especially it was really wonderful because we had some participants that were incredibly fresh to the game, that this was their first ever paranormal location that they had ever been to. So that is something that honestly keeps me in the paranormal, are the ideas that you can even have a person that has never thought, now not a paranormal skeptic, that's a whole different beast because their sort of entire career is based on not believing, but somebody who's never really put any skin in the game, have these experiences. And I find that fascinating. And it also comes down to our upbringing, our religious beliefs, the kinds of stories that we were told when we were little, the books that we read, the areas that we grew up in, even down to just how our families talk or act or our homes or where we live. And so many things go into how we perceive an event. And then even to layer that, which this was something that I had stumbled upon a couple years ago, is that all of those things, all of the ways that we perceive events, are also not necessarily anything that we are able to immediately change. I so often hear this phrase, the best piece of equipment is yourself. And while there are aspects of that being true, how our brain forms and organizes our memories is something that is ingrained in our chemistry, basically. And our brain can actually dictate how you retrieve memories, how you remember something, even something as simple that happened 2 minutes ago. And I have a really, really, really cool story on that that I definitely want to tell you. But taking all of these things into account, I think it's incredibly important, and it's not looked at enough, how people are explaining this phenomena, how they are telling their tales, whether or not we're blowing somebody up, like blowing somebody off immediately, like, and I find that so dismissive to the field when we sort of lump these people into these categories to just say, oh no, you don't want to talk to her, she's an alien person, or no, they think orbs are real. And it's dismissive, and it really kind of stunts the growth of the field itself when we should really be celebrating these stories and looking into the humans that are telling them.
Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. You can listen to that full Paranormal 360 interview with Schrader and Hellickson on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. I'd like to give special thanks to Schrader and Paranormal 360 out of WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities, as well as WWJ News Radio in Detroit, the Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, and KNX News in Los Angeles. You can find all of these programs, including the Something Offbeat podcast, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.